Good morning. I just found my stuff from last week right here. The announcements today are, I don't know if there's any specific one that we need. Summer camp in the community is still being registered. We are responsible for helping at the food pantry on Saturday, June 15th. I noticed there were a few people signed up. The sign-up is in the meeting hall. Then we are signing up for Pastor Doris's farewell breakfast on the 23rd as well. There's coffee after church today instead of before church, so you're welcome to stay and share with that. I have a few other, one other announcement. Mainly we need some help moving some furniture from Pastor Doris's house to the storage, or from Pastor Doris's inside the house to the garage. It can be any day, but I'm not sure my back should be doing that, but we're going to need to figure out something. So if anybody is willing to help at any particular day, let either me know or Tom Andries, who conned me into doing this. Then we have, I just want to make a general announcement about Stephen Ministries. We have at least 12 people that seem to be sort of interested. We still could use a few. Nobody's really made the all-out commitment yet, but we will be just, if you have any questions, we would be glad to share any information with you. And we will, those that have sort of given me their name and maybe, we'll probably be getting an email this week from Holly, so be alert to that. We're not going to attempt a video today. The last couple haven't been the greatest. We haven't, the setting it up has not been the best. All right, let's share in our first song, Bind Us Together, in the Black Hymnal 2226. May God be gracious to us and bless us.
May God's face shine upon us and bring us peace.
Let all the people praise you, O Lord.
Let all people shout their joy to your holy name.
God blesses us continually throughout all our lives.
Thanks be to God for God's eternal love and blessing.
Hymn number 307 in the Red Hymnal.
Thank you.
Pray with me. Holy God, of every time and every place, you gather us to hear of Jesus. Help us to see your infinite life in our own community and in all of creation. We pray in our holy name. Amen.
You may be seated. Vivian, would you like to come up and talk with me? No? Would you come up if your mom comes up? Okay, you come on up. That was a trick question because Lindsay is going to join the church today. And so if you would turn to page 38 in the hymnal. Okay? Can you want to sit down? Okay, well, we can all sit down. Okay. Okay. Vivian, this can be your church home. Did you know that? Yeah. Does it feel like your home? Does it feel like your church home? No. Not yet? Well, how old are you now?
She's two.
Two?
She thinks she's three.
Oh, 2.5 is what she said. That's close to three, isn't it? So maybe by the time fall comes around, you can come to Sunday school, do you think? Like Zane does?
Yeah.
Is that exciting? Yeah. That's how you'll know that this is your church home. So, okay, you turn to page 38. Whenever we receive new members, we do so with the awareness that our belonging to the church and to any congregation begins with our baptism. And you were baptized when you were a baby. And in 8th or 9th or 7th grade, you were confirmed and you joined the church. And that is continuing on with the baptismal covenant. And whenever we receive new members, that is yet another extension of the covenant that we have in baptism. And do you know that you were baptized? Do you know that? What does that mean? Do you remember it? Oh, you do, huh? That's a really good memory. You've already made this vow. As a member of Christ Universal Church, will you be loyal to the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? At some point, you said, I will. Okay. As a member of this congregation, will you faithfully participate in its ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If so, say, I will. Okay. Members of this household of God, I commend this person to your love and care today. I commend her family. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love as members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church. We renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. That in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. The God of all grace, who has called us to eternal glory in Christ, establish you and strengthen you by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you may live in grace and peace. And Lindsay comes to us from the Stuartville United Methodist Church in Stuartville, Minnesota. What is that near?
Rochester.
Okay, we know Rochester. Yeah. So we welcome you.
Thank you.
Yeah, and welcome her. Sorry, there's no money in there.
The first reading this morning is from Acts chapter 1, 1 through 11. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom of Israel? He replied, it is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going and they were gazing upward toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them, and they said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. The second reading is found in Luke, as soon as I can get it. All right, computer. Maybe I can't get it. Oh, there we go. All right. Luke chapter 24, verses 44 through 53. Then he said to them, These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and the repentance and forgiveness of sin is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high.
And he led them out as far as Bethany, where he lifted his hands and blessed them. As he blessed them, he left them and was taken up to heaven. They worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem overwhelmed with joy, and they were continuously praising God in the temple. One of my favorite musicals is Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. And one of my favorite songs from that has these words, way, way back, many centuries ago, not long after the Bible began, Jacob lived in the land of Canaan, a fine example of a family man. Jacob, and sons depended on farming to earn their keep. And toward the end of it, it says, a remarkable family in anyone's book. Reuben was the eldest of the children of Israel, with Simeon and Levi next in line. Naphtali and Issachar with Asher and Dan. Zebulun and Gad took the total to 9. Benjamin and Judah, which leaves only one, Joseph, Jacob's favorite son. I like that it reminds us that way, way back, long before the Bible began, God was in this creation, and God was doing the work of God, communicating with those human beings at that time, God's love for them, and how they and we can all live together. And I think of that when I think of the readings from today. Way, way back, 2 centuries ago, after the Bible began, God sent Jesus so that we would know how to live and how to love. This was the final contact of the disciples with Jesus. It was the final physical Jesus that they would see. And he was talking with them during these 40 days. He was talking with them about all of the things that he wanted to talk about. And that would have been the kingdom of heaven. And during those last 40 days, the disciples kept talking about what they always wanted to know and talk about. Understanding. Help us to understand. They wanted to know when the end of the world would happen and how it would happen and what would be the signs of the end time. Because, you know, if we've got the signs of the end time, we can be prepared. Then out of the blue, Jesus gives them a last instruction. You are going to receive power and to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And then he disappears. I read a story, and I don't know the name of the pastor, but he said, every time I read this passage, I have a flashback to Saturday mornings of my childhood. My dad would haul my younger brother and me to his battered yellow El Camino to these remote sections of our property. It felt like miles, but we only had about 50 acres. We would get out of the back and he would give us instructions on what we were to do. Weeding, fertilizing, planting, painting. Then he would show us the way that he wanted it done. He would hand us a bucket of supplies and some water. Then he'd just drive off. He'd leave us, expecting us to complete the work he left us to do by the time he would return. He says, so I get in my bones why the disciples stood there gazing up at the sky and why they had to be nudged into action. Because sometimes standing there is just what you do when you don't want to believe what's happening. Jesus leaves the disciples with some unfinished business. Lots of it. Even after I became a Christian, I kept thinking that Jesus was going to finish the job himself. Because the disciples asked, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? They were planning for a history that was going to come to a close, and they were also planning for Jesus to wrap it up. Instead of doing that, Jesus leaves them some tools. You will have the power. He gives them a job. Be my witnesses. Then he gets in a truck and he drives off, leaving thousands of miles of plain work in front of them. Endless fields to be seeded, planted, watered, and harvested. And he gives them one small strategy piece. How to do this. He says, start right here in Jerusalem. Then head west to the Judean towns, then north up to Samaria, and then just keep going, keep spreading it further and further out until you reach the ends of the world. First century understanding of creation, the cosmos, was very different from ours. They believed that Earth was one plane and it was flat. And so, by the time they got to the ends, they would know it. When they came to the end of creation, they would stop and go back the other direction, I guess. They also believed that Earth is where human beings live. And there was another level, literally another level, that was called heaven. And so that's where Jesus went, because heaven is with God. He would have gone up. And they also believed that there was another level below that, and they called it Sheol. Christians have made that into hell. But so there's these three levels that there is existence. And they believed that heaven, earth, and Sheol, and the flat world, they believed that that was physically, geographically correct. Our notion of heaven is not of a geographical location or direction. Because when Jesus talked about the kingdom of heaven, Jesus said, the kingdom of God has come near to you. The kingdom of God is in your midst. So when we think about the ascension of Jesus, it's more difficult for us to imagine. The ascension was early Christianity's way of dealing with the absence of Jesus. They had dealt with, lived with, the physical presence of Jesus. They had dwelt with, lived with, the one who was risen and no longer under death's claim. After a time, Jesus disappeared, and he didn't appear again. And so they made sense of this by saying that Jesus went up to heaven. He ascended. Now, we know that Jesus is no longer physically present as well. The body of Jesus Christ is not among us, except that we are the body of Christ. The church is the body of Christ. And this is something that we're all really familiar with. If the church is the body of Christ, then we owe the church the same devotion, the same respect, the same commitment as we owe Jesus. That means, and I'm guilty of this, perhaps some of you are as well, that means that we do not denigrate the leaders of the church. If we believe that We are here for a purpose that God has called to each one of us to be a part of. Then everyone's presence here is a sacred event. This means that we do not denigrate other denominations, because they also are the body of Christ. This means that we do not denigrate one another, because when we do, we take the sacred away from the body of Christ. Now, it's easy to think, boy, you know, if Jesus was here bodily, things would be different. We would get it. We would all be behind Jesus. But remember the story. They didn't all get it. They weren't all behind Jesus. We are no different than they. One of the critical truths about our faith in God and Christ and the church being the body of Christ is that we are different from any other organization. We are different from any other group that meets. Now, there are civic groups that do wonderful goods. They're wonderful good. There's health-related charities that appeal to us, especially when we've lost someone, when there's a disease, something that needs to be overcome. The organizations in our schools do important work, but none of those organizations are the body of Christ. Only the church is Jesus among us. And so our mission needs to be consistent with Jesus' mission. You will receive power. Be my witnesses. Go to Jerusalem and then Judea and Samaria and then spread out to the whole world to honor Christ. Means that we will honor Christ's church. And when we neglect any part of it, we disable the body of Christ. Remember, Paul talked about the church being the body of Christ, in that some of us are the head, some of us are the hands and arms, some of us are the feet, some of us are the bowels. And even though we don't like to talk about those things and the functions thereof, they're necessary. Every part of our physical body is necessary. Every part of the body of Christ is necessary. Because Jesus is no longer here to heal the sick or to touch those who are cast out. He's no longer here to feed the hungry or to continue his work. If the church fails to be the body of Christ, Jesus is absent. Jesus will not be seen. There's a story about Jesus having ascended to heaven, and Jesus and some of the angels are watching down at that group of human beings, and they're just kind of scattered, and they're not they don't have it all together, and they make mistakes, and they hurt one another. And the angels look down and they say, Jesus, you left it to them? Look at the mess they're making of things. What's your plan B, Jesus? And Jesus answered, there is no plan B. I'm trusting them. The other reading from today, one of the other readings that wasn't read is from Ephesians. Paul lifted up a prayer. Since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, this is the reason that I don't stop giving thanks to God for you when I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, will give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation that makes God known to you. I pray that the eyes of your heart will have enough light to see what is the hope of God's call, what is the richness of God's glorious inheritance among believers, and what is the overwhelming greatness of God's power that is working among us believers. This power is conferred by the energy of God's powerful strength. If we want to lift up the worth and the importance of every single believer, we can look to this prayer. Paul prays for that God's light will flood the darkness of our hearts, so that we will know the greatness of God's power that's already at work within us and our communities. So at the end of the day, at the end of today's lesson, the men of Galilee are left staring into space. And even though in our time we might not believe that there's a physical heaven up here, when we say a brief prayer, or when we want to make reference to God in a conversation, we look up. I don't know if you've noticed, but when I am not leading a prayer, when I am praying with someone else leading it, I always look up. Because I want the light of God to shine on my face, to lighten me, to remove any darkness that is within me. So these disciples didn't have a world of power at that point, but they went back home. And when they received power, the body of Christ began to explode into the world. And if we look at our world today, we have to trust that the Holy Spirit of God will empower us, that we can be God's witnesses, and that we can go to Jerusalem or to Madison. We can head south to Chicago. And then we can go east or west to either of the coasts. But we know that that's not the end of the world. We know that we can go around and around and around. And I think that's a part of the beauty of Jesus' call to Christians. Because we're not going to reach the end of the world. Previous generations, this generation, future generations are going to continue to have this claim on their lives as the body of Christ. Amen. We are all gifted with the grace of God. We're clothed with power from on high. Let us offer ourselves and our gifts to the building of God's kingdom. No, one of you goes down the middle and passes. Yeah. Oh, I thought you were giving it back to me. Let us pray together. Gracious and giving God, you are the one who first has given to us all that we need for life. Guide us to use what we now give for the well-being of your church, for those in need of shelter and food, for all who suffer for want of your word, and for nurturing faith in your people. In the name of Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. I'm hoping that most people have heard by now that Marge Denevico passed this week. Her service will be on Tuesday afternoon at Hooverson's. So are there other people or situations that we should lift for prayer? Let us pray. As he was with his disciples at that Last Supper, oh God, Jesus prayed for us that we might be one. And we pray for that wholeness, that oneness, that shalom for the church, but also for the world. You are the giver of life, O God, and you show to us your new creation every day. You feed us, you clothe us, you give us joy in your good earth. We praise you. We give you thanks for this amazing creation, for all of your people in it. And we pray for your wisdom as we relate to one another and to creation. We pray that those of us in the body of Christ might be reconciled. We pray for peace among the nations of your creation, peace between tribes and countries, in schoolyards, in academic halls, in legislative bodies, and around the kitchen tables of every home. Reconcile us that we can be one. We pray that we would always be faithful to your mission and your vision for the world, that we would proclaim the good news, that those who don't know it might know you and the new life that is possible through Jesus Christ. Open us to love one another and to share this gift that you have given to us. We pray for all of those who cry out to you in hard times, for those who are ill, for those who are facing the death of themselves or loved ones, for people who don't have work, for people who have no safety in this world, for those who don't have dining tables or beds, those who don't have enough. Into your hands, gracious God, we pray all these things. We ask that you would hear our thanksgivings, our pleas, and we lift them silently in these moments. Hear our prayer, those spoken aloud and those lifted to you in silence. We pray them in Jesus' name, and as he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation. Amen. Would you turn in the hymnal to page 9, I believe. To page 9. Come to the table of peace. Come to the table of love. Come to the table of joy. Come to the table of power. Come to the table of Christ. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Blessed are you, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, By your great mercy, we have been born anew to a living hope through the resurrection of Christ from the dead, and to an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. Once we were no people, but now we are your people, declaring your wonderful deeds in Christ Jesus, who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. You alone are God. You created form from the void, light from the darkness, and life from the dust of the earth. Even when we turned away from your goodness, your mercy was not turned aside. You brought us out of slavery, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and set before us the way of life. You loved the world so much that you gave Jesus Christ that the world might be saved through him. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, release of the captives, sight to the blind, and freedom to the oppressed. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. He won for you a new people by water and the Holy Spirit. By the baptism of his death and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant. At his ascension, you exalted him to sit at your right hand, where according to his promise, he is with us always, baptizing us with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Therefore, with your people in all ages and the whole company of heaven, we join in the song of unending praise, saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Truly holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. On the night he offered himself up for us, he took bread. He gave thanks to you, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When the supper was over, he took the cup. He gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you drink it, do so in remembrance of me. On the day you raised him from the dead, he was recognized by his disciples in the breaking of the bread and in the power of your Holy Spirit. Your church has continued in the breaking of the bread and the sharing of the cup. Therefore, in remembrance of all of your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we ask you to accept our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, which we offer in union with Christ's sacrifice for us, as a living and holy surrender of ourselves. Send the power of your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts, that in the breaking of this bread and the drinking of this cup, we may know the presence of the living Christ. We may be renewed as his body and transformed into his likeness, faithfully serve him in the world, and look forward to his coming in final victory. Through him, with him, in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. In the United Methodist Church, communion is open. All who need to be fed, all who want to be fed by Jesus Christ are welcome to come. This morning we will be receiving communion by modified intinction. That means you'll come up the center aisle. You'll be handed bread, and you can take a cup as we commune together. Come to this table. It is an open feast. Christ invites us all, the rich, the poor, the outcast, and the honored. Come to this gathering of sinners and saints. Come to this blessed table where Christ rules. Come and taste the kingdom of God, where all are welcome. Taste the love. Taste the joy. Taste the kindness. Taste the forgiveness. They are ours. I invite the servers to come forward. Come and eat and be filled. The gift of life for you. The gift of life. The gifts of life. Gifts of life. The gifts of life. The gifts of life. Just a minute. There. The gifts of life. Gifts of life. The gifts of life. Receive the gifts of life. Mary, receive the gifts of God. Leslie, receive the gifts of God. Pam, receive the gifts of God. Verlin, receive the gifts of God. Susie, receive the gifts of God. Now, Nelson, receive the gifts of God. Chris, receive the gifts of God. Receive the gifts of God. Take it to...
I'll do those two.
Okay. Bruce, the gifts of God. The gifts of God. You shall show it. I didn't see you behind him. Oops. You hold. I'll take yours. I'm the body of Christ. Mary, the body of Christ. The body of Christ. Let us pray. Gracious God, you have given us peace and blessed us with a taste of your heavenly banquet. as we leave your table, usher us into your kingdom now and forever. Amen. And would you turn to hymn number 384, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling.
Love Divine, All
I ask that God will strengthen you in your inner selves from the riches of his glory through his Spirit. I ask that Christ will live in your hearts through faith. As a result of having strong roots of love, I ask that you'll have the power to grasp love's width and height and length and depth together with all believers. I ask that you'll know the love of Christ that is beyond knowledge, so that you will be filled entirely with the fullness of God. Amen.